All right, let's conclude our teaching on understanding the prophetic today. I will read for that reason from a number of scriptures, some of which we've read before. Let me just quickly read this one just to conclude, that is to introduce the conclusion, all right? Sounds funny. All right, the book of Hosea chapter 12. This is one we have read. Okay, we started this reading this, the book of Hosea chapter 12. Just one verse there from verse 13. Okay, let's just start from 12 so as to get it in context. It said, now Jacob fled from the land of Aram, and Israel worked for a wife. And for a wife, he kept sheep. Now, when God was going to bring Israel from Egypt, another place where he went to at the particular point, in verse 13 he says, but by a prophet, the Lord brought Israel from Egypt. And by a prophet, he was kept. Please notice that Israel left the land of Aram through other methods, but when the time was ripe for him to leave Egypt, when the time was ripe for him to leave the land of captivity into the land of deliverance, on the land of freedom, when the time was ripe for him to leave the land of struggles into the land of grace, when the time was ripe for him to leave the land in which he labored under a taskmaster, into the land where he will serve the Lord and the Lord will bless his bread and his water. He didn't leave because of his strength. He did not leave because of his ability to arrange deliverance. But he left because of the work of a prophet. The Bible says, by a prophet, the Lord brought Egypt and Israel from Egypt. And by a prophet, it was kept. That is the sustenance of his life in the land of abundance. The sustenance of his life in the land of grace was also by the ministry of the prophet. And for that reason, of course, I said then, that was why God first set Moses aside. And then when the time was ripe, he taught him how to prophesy. And that was the same thing that God did to Jeremiah. He taught Jeremiah how to prophesy. So what God did was to teach Moses how to prophesy. And then Moses now went back to Egypt and he would say, let my people go. That is, what got the people out of captivity was that Moses said, thus says the Lord, let my people go. It was not because the people arranged deliverance, but because Moses uttered the words and said, let my people go. You understand that? So we say, if we are going to be delivered in Christianity, if we are going to have freedom, if we are going to have abundance, if we are going to have the victory that God created us to have, then we must learn the principle of prophesying, because it was by prophecy, by a prophet, that God brought Israel from Egypt. And that's what I've been studying for the last few weeks. And last time I said something, let me just remind us of it again, and then from there we'll conclude today. That everybody, remember I said it, you are your own most important prophet. In the New Testament, you know, prophets are not people we go to meet now. There are prophets like that, but we don't go to meet them to consult and say, what did God say? We have the word of God. We have the will of God, which is recorded. We have been studying on Tuesdays concerning how to pray in the will of God. And if anybody is listening to this, I would recommend you get that series in the School of Prayer, Praying in the Will of God. Because we explained there that the will of God is recorded. So when the Bible says that you ask, this is the confidence we have, that's in 1 John chapter 5, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. We said that wasn't saying that we should go to a prophet and ask, what is the will of God about this so that I can pray accordingly. What God was saying there is that my will has been recorded, and if you fill your life with my word, if my words abide in you, he said, then you will ask whatever you will. That is, anything that comes from a heart that's abiding in the word of God, that thing is the will of God. Are you getting my point? So prophecies now for us are things that have been recorded. In fact, Paul said it like this, that the prophets prophesied, that Peter said, the prophets prophesied concerning the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. You understand my point? That is, the whole of these prophecies, they are the words of God for us. They are the things that we are supposed to utter, and that makes us prophets. When we are saying now that we'll be delivered by prophecy, we are not saying that we'll now go, because sometimes, you see, you must understand how to interpret life, especially when it has to do with the old versus the new covenant. Sometimes Christians want to stand in the position that the prophets of the Old Testament stood amongst the people of God. But it doesn't work like that today. Are you getting my point? In fact, you know, I don't know why I mentioned it here. If you listen to the series I taught in Abuja, then I mentioned to you, I gave it out for those who were interested. I explained something there. If you go and read that 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, he explained that in the Old Testament, the prophet was a problem. That is, the problem was with false prophets. But in the New Testament, the problem is with what? False teachers. You understand my point? That is, in New Testament, the way we used to go those days, to go to the prophet, to go and inquire of the Lord, what God expects is that you will go to the Word of God to learn. That's why I'm emphasizing the issue of teachers. That is, you have to be taught the Word of God. That's what you need to seek. You don't need to seek from a prophet. What is God saying? God has said everything he needs to say to anybody who is seeking to hear. Are you getting my point? When God needs to speak beyond that which is recorded, he knows how to get across to you. And at such times, he also has New Testament prophets. But what they do now is not to sit down and somebody come and say, inquire of me for me of the Lord. No. What anybody needs now in Christianity is to go and learn the Word of God. Are you getting my point? But when God needs to send a prophet to the person, he will send a prophet. And prophets still exist till today. I'm not saying they don't exist. But when it comes to our general life, how we live our lives, you are the most important prophet in your life. Are you getting my point? In fact, remember we said, he said, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. And he was speaking about Abraham. He was speaking about Isaac. He was speaking about Jacob. And he was speaking about the sons of Israel. That is, every one of them who God shaped the events of life around, those were the prophets of God. And last time I began to explain who a real prophet is. These are the real prophets of God. Everyone who is a believer. That's the person who's, in fact, this is how it is. In fact, I thought about it later. I should have discussed about effective prophets. Who are the prophets of God now? Everyone who is a Christian. Are you getting my point? Yes. Now, I need to emphasize what I said about that again. All right? I said it before. Let me say it again. And what I said is that we are all builders with God. And the way by which we build is by what? Prophesying. Are you getting what I'm saying? Don't forget what we said, that the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. And then God did what? He uttered, he prophesied, he said something. And how we are going to put all that back into whatever it is that we are doing in life is to continue to do what? To say something, all right? So, number one, who are those who are God's prophets? Who are the people who are going to put order into this life? It is you and it is me. Are you getting what I'm saying? All right? And we must be careful. I don't want to go over that again. Listen to the previous messages. You must be careful what you say with your mouth. Life is not a derivative of the physical events that we see. Life is derived from the words that the prophets of God speak when they have observed the things that are happening. They don't utter how they feel. They don't utter so as to derive from what they are seeing. They utter what they want to happen. So if God wants something to happen, what he does is to reveal it to his servants, the prophets. Don't forget, surely the Lord God does how many things?
Nothing.
How many things?
Nothing.
How many things?
Nothing.
I can't hear you. How many things?
Nothing.
He does nothing unless he reveals them first to his servants, the prophets. The reason is this. Without them uttering something, nothing will be done. Don't forget what I said. If we all kept quiet, therefore, you say, what will happen? What will happen is that the Lord will withdraw his spirit and we all will expire. And the Lord will withdraw his spirit and the physical atmosphere, the physical things around would expire. You understand that point? All right, let's continue. Now, so this is the point we're trying to draw me into our hearts, okay? The true prophets of God are, number one, those who are believers. If they have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then they qualify to be the prophets of God. I said last time that they also have the Word of God. I said there are people who are proved faithful and there are those who understand, okay, I didn't explain that. There are those who have been called, they have been chosen, and they have proved faithful. That's where I stopped. Now, having reviewed that briefly, I'll continue from that point, like I said, but let's read a few scriptures to connect with the things I want to say today. First of all, let's read from Jeremiah chapter 23. The book of Jeremiah chapter 23, let's read that. I'll start from verse 16. I want to get the concept out to us here. Concerning effective prophesying. Please say it, effective prophesying. Because you see, there are issues of what Paul called clanging, empty barrels and clanging cymbals. People can say things that don't have any effect. In fact, you see it, who is it that says a thing and it comes to pass unless the Lord has commanded it? And that's what it is. Effective prophesying must be because God has already commanded. Are you getting that point? So let's read that from verse 23, from verse 16, chapter 23. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who are prophesying to you. Now, please, before we read this, let me just give you a background. Jeremiah was prophesying when Israel was going to be plundered by the Babylonians and they were going to be carried into captivity. And Nebuchadnezzar was being sent by God to do that assignment, all right? It was an order from God. Now, a lot of prophets came and they were speaking good things to the people. The people had disobeyed God for a very long time, yet they would come and say, no problem will happen to you. Everything is all right with you, all right? These Babylonians that are coming, they won't come in. They will not take you away. Even after they went into captivity, they started prophesying that just 2 years and you'll be out of captivity. And Jeremiah, who was the true prophet of God, who was sent, was now giving them these words. Now, let's read it now. He said, do not listen to the words of the prophets who are prophesying to you. They are leading you into futility. They speak a vision of their own imagination. And I see a lot of that today. Not from the mouth of the Lord. They keep saying to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you will have peace. As for everyone who walks in the stubbornness of his own heart, they say, calamity will not come upon you. Please notice verse 18, which is the reason why we are reading this. It says, but who has stood in the counsel of the Lord, that he should see and hear his word? Who has given heed to his word and listened? Behold, the storm of the Lord has gone forth in wrath. That is, they will have discovered this, that the storm of the Lord has gone forth in his wrath, even a whirling tempest. It will swell down on the head of the wicked. He said, the anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has performed and carried out the purposes of his heart. He said, in the last days you will clearly understand it. Now, said in verse 21, I did not send these prophets, but they ran. I did not speak to them, but they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, something is striking me here, that these are really called prophets. Are you getting the point? Because God called them prophets. He said, I didn't send these prophets, but they ran. He now said, this is what they should have done. If they had stood in my counsel, then they would have announced my words to my people, and they would have turned back from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds. Just by the way, the main problem Israel had, I said earlier, was false prophets. Those who said things to them that were not true. But God said, this is what prophets should have done. Now, notice that. They should have stood in the counsel of God. They should have stood waiting upon the presence of God. They should have stood to hear what God wants to say to the people. I said to you last time, what a lot of people do is that they react. Now, put something here. Let's quickly go over to the book of Isaiah chapter 11. I'm talking about effective prophesying. I've been talking about this understanding the prophetic for a while. I want to finish it today. Effective prophesying. Please, my emphasis in this whole thing, I can't say it enough. Let me keep on repeating it. Is to let you know that the key to your deliverance is in your mouth. If you understood that, say amen.
Amen.
My emphasis in all of these teachings, in this series, is to let you understand the key to the deliverance of a nation, your society, your environment, your family, your children, is in your mouth. You are getting what I'm saying? Don't you see, it's what you tell them they will become. And let me say this to you again. Life is tempting. Life is full of temptations. I remember the song we taught those days when we were in school. He said, you are starting, my boy, on life's journey. Along the highways of life, you will meet with 1,000 temptations. Each city with evil is rife. Remember the song? He said, the world is a stage of excitement. There is danger wherever you go. And then, you know, said, if you have met with one kind of thing, have courage, my boy, he said, to say no. I remember that song we learned when we were children. All right? Learned that song more than 30 years ago. I remember it very well. Now, this is the point I'm making. Life is full of what? Temptations. And what the temptations are, one of the major temptations in life, of course, is the temptation to lead you into sin by actions. But I want to say this to you. One major temptation which you must resist, especially in today's Christianity, is to speak wrongly. Are you getting my point? let me say it like this. You will have children. I told you my experience in life. All right, I have a number of children, and God used that one to teach me something very powerful. They are very different, but they have not, oh God, I give you praise, I thank you for it. They have not been able to persuade me to say different things concerning them. I have children that are very attentive. I have children that Americans would have loved to qualify as having attention deficit disorder. But that's your personal problem. The key to leaving Egypt, the key to leaving foolishness and entering into grace, the key to leaving Egypt and entering into Canaan is by the word of prophecy. And I'm the chief prophet in the house. So no matter what it is, I will remind you of what I decided before I married your mother. I will remind you of what I knew before I even thought about having a wife. I will remind you of what I told my wife after I've married her about you before you were conceived. You will not get me to change my mind. You are a good boy. You are a handsome boy. You are a beautiful girl. You are going somewhere great. You are a prophetess of God. I will tell you that why you are misbehaving. You know why? Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, so you should misbehave periodically. Are you getting my point? Until I finish driving them away by the prescription of God. Are you getting my point? You will do some misbehavior. But while you are doing that, I must never change what I'm saying about you. Because I'm not remarking or commenting upon what you are like right now. After all, you are just a child. I am telling you what you are going to be in future. I'm telling you that which you were created to be. Before you were conceived, I told God, don't give me any nonsense child. So he didn't give me one. No matter how you behave, it does not change my mind for me. And the earth was without form, and it was void, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving upon the surface of the waters. And then God said, he was not commenting upon the uselessness of the situation. He told the situation where it should go. Please, I want you to understand that. If the nation will move forward, you know, we've been saying it, this light, this power will be uninterrupted in this country. Not because we do not have legislators that they put in charge and decide to whack a billion naira. That is their problem. They will whack the money to give them diarrhea. They will bring out that money undigested. They will bring it out. Whatever it takes, it will come to pass that in this nation, we generate enough power, we'll start looking for where to sell it. Amen. You can't make me change my mind. The only way it will happen is if the prophets of God continue to do their duty. You are not succeeding in life because you have a good degree. You will not do well in life because you are connected. You know, I've been saying, I hope everybody has believed me, you've been listening to me enough. Where is your deliverance? Where's your success? Where's your destiny? He said, behold, the word is nigh thee. Even in thy mouth, the word of faith which we preach. That's your destiny. I said, life is tempting. That's what I was trying to explain. What is the temptation of life? It wants to explain. Look, you will do a few businesses and it will fail. Why? Because you must be tested. That's just life for you. Remember, I don't know if you're on our mailing list. I sent an article around. I said, are you cursed? I don't think so. So you had a number of failures. I said, so? That just means you're a righteous man. You have 7 to go. If you say, I'm cursed, I say, life is difficult. It's not about being cursed. He said, the kingdom of God suffereth what? Violence. And the violent will take it by force. You must understand that point. So, life is not, because you had a few problems, doesn't mean anything. What I'm talking about today, that won't change your mind. It is because I didn't get that master's. If only I had gotten the master's. You see, what is it when you start saying that, you are soothsaying like Philistines. So what are you supposed to do? Ignore the master's you have or do not have. Ignore that degree you have or do not have. Whether you have it or you don't have it is irrelevant. I told you degrees for what? Learning. It's not to get a job. You go to school to be educated. Education is important. In life, it's not good to be foolish. Solomon said, I tested foolishness, I tested wisdom. I discovered that foolishness is foolish. Yes, you know, Solomon tested a lot of things, you understand? One thing he dropped fast was foolishness. He tested eating plenty. He did that one for a long time. He tested drinking plenty. He said, I tested how to stimulate my body with wine. He did that for a long time. But the moment he started foolishness, he dropped it sharp. He said, this one is stupid. That was one thing Solomon said, but don't even go near it. So ignorance is bad. Are you getting my point? Yes. To be uneducated is not good. I'm not talking about being certificated. Are you getting what I'm saying? Being certificated and being educated are two different things. I say all the time, nobody gave me a certificate to enter into ministry. But I'm not bragging. I have read more course content than many people that have doctors of divinity in spiritual matters. I told you once, I was with a friend. He had a BSc in theology. I had a bachelor in medicine and bachelor in surgery. And both of us were used coppers. At the end of the year, he told me that I challenged him to go and read his Bible. I didn't have a certificate in theology. He had it. But I had the learning. The day I read Hebrews chapter 1 for him in Hebrew. Yes, in the Hebrew language. The man was shocked. Where did you hear that from? It is in the books. It is in the books. Are you getting my point? Education is for education purposes. It's not for getting a job. I'm not queued up in any church now. Come and give me a job. But I don't have to tell you. In fact, let me not bother you. With the number of the churches that have offered me essentially a job, people have started branches hoping I will go in to take it over. I went there, greeted them very well. I said, it's very nice work you are doing here. I disappeared. I've been offered all kinds of titles. I'm telling you. Just because you step up. People have done. Why? Because Paul said, I am. That is, it was something people say, you are the proof of my ministry. You are the proof of my calling. I don't need anybody's certificate. You want to know whether I'm educated or not in spiritual matters? Just come and sit down. Let me teach you the word of God for 1 hour. If at the end of the day you are sure I am not educated in the Bible and spiritual matters, then don't come back to where I'm teaching. No, be so. And listen, that's how it is in the whole of life. I know now we camp around certificates, but go and check it. Henry Ford did not have a certificate. He went and learned to be what they call a machinist. RJ Letourneau, he says, I'm a self-taught engineer. When he sold his company, he had to enter an agreement not to design anything for 5 years. Because they know if he continues designing, the fact that he sold the company, he will take everything back. Listen, people say that Bill Gates was a dropout. You know, Nigerian dropout, American dropout are two different kinds of dropouts. Let me talk about the American dropout for a moment. With his dropping out, he produced Windows. Are you guys gonna say? That is, he didn't need the certificate. He had the learning of programming. So he was in a hurry to get out and go and start doing the business. Same thing with Michael Dell. He didn't have the certificate yet. He was in school, but he was already producing computers for people to use. So he said, why waste time? And once they featured him as a billionaire, those days, there were not that many then. Then they were very few. He was a billionaire before he was 40. Using the same learning that people go to school to learn. Now, I'm not saying schooling is bad. You don't need a certificate. That's what I'm saying. But don't look at that certificate as if it's your passport. In Nigeria today, we see people who have BSc in accounting. They can't do basic bookkeeping. I've gone back to that again. Let me get back to what I was saying. What am I saying? Therefore, don't predict your future based on things like that. Are you getting my point? Whatever it is you have or do not have, the key to your destiny is in your mouth. When you wake up in the morning, it's what you say that the environment responds to if you are a true child of God. That's what I'm saying. You don't, please, don't confirm the problem. You know, people don't understand. You know, people like people feeling sorry for them. If you have that habit, drop it. It's not necessary. People don't like it. You trying to make them feel sorry for you. I don't say, if you know how much I have suffered, why do I want to know how much you have suffered? If I want to see suffering, I watch CNN. Do you understand my point? If you want to see suffering, watch CNN. CNN will go to Syria. They will not film the peaceful places. Just film all the places where, in fact, the one I saw today, they blew up a house. The house collapsed on top of a woman who was breastfeeding. They now showed the little one-year-old that was being breastfed how he survived because the mother died on top of him. Supposed to make me feel bad and hate Assad. So I don't want your story added to that one. It's enough when I want to feel bad. I watch Calamity News Network. So don't go around telling your stories. If you know how I suffered in this life. My father left when I was only 6. My mother had to work to take care of only 5 of us. As you are saying, like the guy, like, get to the point. Okay, if without this job, without this job, better forget this job. We ain't giving you because you suffered. I'm looking for a man who is skilled. I'm looking for a man who can make me rich. I'm not looking for a man who will solve his problem by giving him a job. You know, I like to drop things again and again. When you go to look for a job, you interview us, don't go there making the man feel sorry for you because you are putting yourself in the position of need. He is in the position of need. You are supposed to be a giver. He's not looking for who to give to. He's looking for who to take from. For every naira he pays you, he gets like 2 or 3 or 4. He's a kind man. A wicked man gets like 1,000. You get what I'm saying? So he wants somebody who can make him rich. When you sit down, explain to him. He won't know you are prophesying. Explain to him how your coming into his life is going to be a blessing to him. Listen, I'm skilled in something. And I'm a very honest man. I know I shouldn't blow my own trumpet, but how else will you know if I don't tell you? And these are my own referees and not jokers. These are their numbers. Call them. Whether one night I ever got missing while I was in charge. My middle name, sir, is Daniel. In the affairs of the boss, no evidence of corruption or negligence will be found. Let me leave that. Let me see my message. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. So what am I saying? Your destiny, your success in life is in your mouth. That's what I'm trying to emphasize in all of these things. It's in your mouth. And you must be disciplined to respond to life by God's prophetic word, which I'm emphasizing today. You will only know if you're in counsel with him. All right, I said you should open somewhere. Did I say that one? Isaiah chapter what? 11. Let's quickly read that. That's what I was trying to say. So in life, when you want to speak, try not to respond. I said it last time that I went somewhere for a so-called prophetic mandate teaching. And I said to myself, this man has not been in counsel with God. What do I mean by that? You know, in life, we respond. I was saying to you, life is very tempting. And the temptation is to respond according to what we can see. And that's why I want us to read this. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. This is the discipline of Christianity. It said, then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. Now, please notice this. He will delight in the fear of the Lord. And he will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he will judge the poor and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. He said he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Please notice that too. He's pronouncing judgment, how? By the rod of his mouth and by the breath of his lips. That is how he will slay the wicked. He said, and righteousness will be the belt about his loins, and faithfulness the belt about his waist. Now, let me just stop there, all right? Now, why did I read this? Let me get back to what I was saying. So you see, this is the discipline of the prophet of God. God said, touch not my anointed and do my prophets. My emphasis there on the word my. That is the prophets that are God's own prophets. The people that are God's own people. We read from 1 Peter chapter 2 then. It said, you are God's special possession, a peculiar people, a holy nation. All right? Now, so the people of God, this is their discipline. This is one thing they must be careful that they do not do. They must be like the Lord Jesus Christ, which this portion of the Bible was prophesying concerning. He said, the spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom, understanding. The spirit, he said, of counsel, strength, knowledge, fear of God. He will not judge by what his eyes see. Like I was telling you, so then I went for that meeting. And the man began to declare. And I knew that this was a man reacting. I remember once I was in church. And the pastor was saying something. This was when the whole of the nation was angry. That is, Southerners at least, all right? They were angry that the North has been ruling the country for a very, very long time. And the pastor was saying something. And this is one thing about human beings. It is easy. That's why I hate being called a motivational speaker. Because one day we come, you think I'm motivating you, I will swear for you. According to the word of the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Then you can come the vex. Sometimes I'm teaching. Say some truth, some people will get angry. I'm not a motivational speaker. I expect you to get angry periodically. You understand? That's a sign that I'm still telling you the truth. All right? Yes, you should get angry once in a while. You should say things that it's hard for you to swallow. You follow what I'm saying? So that day, the man was teaching the word of God, and he was teaching the truth. And of course, the mood in the nation was that, look, there should be rotational presidency. Why should only the Hausas and the Hausa Fulani and the core North people, Northern Muslims, be the one ruling? And the thing should move down south. You know, that talk was plenty. Then he said something, and this is what I want to tell you about, not judging according to what your eyes see or what your ears hear. You must judge with righteous judgment. And he was trying to explain something that we have to be careful when we are talking. That he said, this is how he said it, that for example, in the nation of Israel, do you know the commandment of God was that all their rulers will come from Judah? One guy in front of me says, so pastor, what are you saying? No, I'm serious. I'm telling the truth. Like, what are you saying? Which kind of Judah? Is Judah Sokoto State? Come on, we stop all of this nonsense. Now, I just want to bring an issue to you. Now, this may sound simple. It may sound nice to hear. But when the chips are down, God. Do you know there was a time God came out and killed the sons of Aaron and said, don't cry. You hear what I said? You're not allowed to mourn. You're not supposed to cry. You're going to continue your priesthood after I fried two of your sons. It's not funny. Jeremiah said, go and read Lamentations. He said, a time comes when God begins to pummel a man. He said, this is the word of the Lord. He mustn't complain. He said, if they slap him, let him keep the cheek there. He said, if they slap him enough, God will get tired of the slapping. He said, but if he reacts, the slapping will take longer. I don't know whether I get what I'm saying. That is, I'm trying to give you the extremes of not, you know, judging according to the hearing of the ears or the seeing of the eyes. The man that did, I went for the prophetic meeting. When it was through, I told you about it last time, just want to explain it further today. I said to myself, this guy has not been in counsel with God. He's angry. He didn't hear the words of Elihu. And this is how it is in Christianity. Say, Pastor Bank, are we supposed to take every oppression that comes upon us? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that your complaint must never be about man or towards man. It must always be towards God. He said, no one says, where is God my maker? That no one can oppress you as a believer unless God says, go ahead, oppress him. That's a matter of fact. I'm bringing an issue here. In Christianity, through prophesying, you know, when people go to churches these days, before I say anything about Christianity, I want to just point something out to let you understand what I'm saying. It is so easy. One day, a friend of mine pointed to one church in Enugu and said, look at how they have grown. They had bought land, you know, you could see them spending money. That they try. I said to him, oh boy, relax about this trying matter. You will read our bulletin next week. And one of the articles in there is talking about the myths. All right? I got it from somewhere. The myth concerning ministry success. I told my friend, listen, forget all this they are trying. I said, if you want to gather a crowd, if you preach what they preach, and you have the charisma, you will gather that same amount of crowd. There's no anointing about it. I said, listen, you know the reason? Because there are things people want to hear. So when you gather people and say, tonight, all your enemies are going to die. And you do it favor. I don't mean the one of your enemies will die. Let us pray that your enemies are going to die. Let's say, enemies die. nobody will follow you. I'm saying, tell them, draw your sword. Lift it up. Kill them. See, the man cannot buy a physical AK-47. This is where he gets his release. It's called catharsis. You vent your anger. Our psychologists even teach it. If you go to those countries, people know they don't agree to go to church. You can tell you to put a punching bag there. When you are angry, face the punching bag. You beat the punching bag. Your body will cool down. Remember when they are angry, they start running. They run. They can run for 10 kilometers. The anger has to go somewhere. So what we do is, when you are broke, it's your enemy. It's not you. You are not lazy. There's no problem with you. You are working hard. It's not even the country. It's not the economy. It's what? Your enemies. When you were married, that I noticed your mother-in-law was frowning. That is it. Now see now. So what are you going to do? Holy Ghost what? Fire. That is judging according to the hearing of their ears and the seeing of their eyes. It is not righteous judgment. Many times Christians have told me that, many times, not once. Look, in my head now, four just flashed. If I settle down, I will give you more. All right? In which Christians have pointed fingers. They said it is my sister-in-law. That girl is very wicked. They said in my wife's place, or my husband's place, my husband's grandmother, you know that they all kinds of stories. So that is why I have not been able to do well in business. That is why I'm miscarrying. Each time I get pregnant, between the third and the fourth months, I miscarry. Why? Because my sister-in-law, you know, she's a witch. When I hear from Christians, my reflex, my hand goes down like this. I'm unbuckling my belt. Flogging time. I actually want to flog a Christian. Opens the mouth in ignorance and gives the glory to the devil. Mr. Devil, you have control over my life. My God can't do anything. No matter how much I worship him, he's powerless. Even if I declare his word, you will still kill. You will destroy because he doesn't have the power. The Son has not come to destroy the works of the devil. He that the Son has set free is not free indeed, though. He's only free if the enemy forgets. And we wake up every morning and we gather people. Hey, all your enemies. Like once I saw a picture in Abuja. They sent it to us. Koboko night. You shall come with your Koboko. You can be sure they have done AK-47 night. Bazooka night, of course, you know. Now that one are regular. Tonight we are going to bazooka the devil. Now, listen. Pastor Banga, I say it is bad. It is a waste of time. I told you last time I went to preach one sister, but if you tell me the whole story of her life. Was it Saturday? I said it was last Saturday or on Tuesday. I don't know. Was Saturday? Something's wrong. I said, I hope you're not back planning to go to the village to go and pray. We're actually planning. I said, go and tell your brothers, they need to learn how to do business in Christianity. Not the devil that's putting them in distress. They learned worldliness. Now they have given their lives to Christ. They have to learn godliness. It takes time. I'm bringing an issue here. So prophets, we don't just go around judging recklessly. And that's what I'm talking about. We read that first of all. He said, if they had been in counsel with me, let me emphasize this. I said something last night as I was concluding, and I need to emphasize it, alright, so as to wrap everything together today, so I can conclude the whole series, that's understanding the prophetic. That you see, we talked about Simba in Lion King. He was king quite alright, but the little boy, that he was going to be king. So, authority couldn't be given to him because the first thing he would have done was to fire Zazu that was supposed to preserve his life. So, you know what God did? He ensured that he didn't have the power to fire Zazu. So that when the hyenas got him, it was Zazu that went home to go and get his father. Imagine if he had fired Zazu. The hyenas would have had what they call their cub sandwich. You understand what I'm saying? Use the lion cub to do their sandwich. All right? Now, but God didn't give him that power because it was not going to be properly used.